This is a new song from that group that's writing the new hymns called City of Light. It's called Good and Gracious King. Let's learn it together tonight. Y'all want to stand with me? I approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. I will give to you my burden, as you give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your Spirit as I sing to you this praise. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy I sing. By your love I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Holy, holy Lord Almighty, good and gracious, good and gracious. Holy, holy Lord. The greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, thank you, Bill Lenny. Thank you.
with gladness in our works and ways. Come before his presence with our songs of praise. Unto him our Maker we would pledge anew, life's supreme devotion to serve as true. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song. To our Creator true praises belong. Great is his mercy, wonderful is his name. We gladly serve him, his great love proclaim. Serve the Lord with gladness, thankful all the while, for his tender mercies, for his loving smile. Let truth enduring, always just the same, we will serve with gladness and praise his name. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song. To our Creator true praises belong. Great is his mercy, wonderful is his name. We gladly serve him, his great love proclaim. Serve the Lord with gladness, this shall be our theme. As we walk together in his loving stream, listening, ever listening, for the still small voice, his will so precious will be our choice. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song. To our Creator true praises belong. Great is his mercy, wonderful is his name. We gladly serve him, his great love proclaim.
Thine own dear presence to cheer and to
thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Amen. Brother Travis, would you open us in prayer tonight, Brother Travis? We were studying last lesson in hope this morning in Sunday school, and it came from 2 Timothy when Paul was in prison in Rome about to be beheaded, and he was writing a letter to Timothy to cheer him up.
That's good. Yeah.
He said, that's why I'm here, is because I'm preaching the gospel, and you can expect the same. And he said, in verse 12, he said, the reason I'm so encouraged is that I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
The thing we're about to sing is verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Powerful encouragement from directly from Paul.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He has made known, nor my worthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I am believing and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I am believing and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Put to a different tune, and Brother Lanny will come after this.
All the way my Savior leads me, who have I to ask beside? How could I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me. Cheer each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the way. My Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love. Oh, the sureness of His promise. In the triumph of His love, when my spirit clothed immortal wings and fly to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Led me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow.
Teresa, you think you can find this?
I've got it.
Oh, okay. Man, I was in a quandary about what to do. I had so many things that I wanted to share tonight, and so I didn't know whether to finish up what I started this morning or I had planned on doing this in one session, and anyway, you know, I didn't get started very good. I got on too many rabbit trails, and so what I'm going to do is finish what I started this morning, and then next Sunday I'll take up with what I started last Sunday morning. I guess that's how I'll do it. In 2 Thessalonians, and the first chapter, I sure appreciated what Matt said about Paul's encouraging words, because when you study the Bible, you make that discovery that he's encouraging us in the Lord all the time, but suffering is all part of that. And he gives a description of that in the scripture of how many times he was had 39 stripes minus or 40 minus one. I think it's the way they thought if they gave you 40, it'd kill you. So 40 minus one, I think that's how it was. But he said he got that three times. Isn't that right? Three times that he got that. And he was shipwrecked on more than one occasion. He gives great detail about one of the occasions. And then how many times he'd gone through that. And yet, as he writes this letter to the Thessalonians, he says to them, it's hardship is normal. That's just normal living. That's just part of the Christian life. But we're to be praising through that. I remember seeing a little clip, and I don't know where it came from. Maybe the Gideons had shown it, but it was the church, I believe, in China, and they were videoing these guys giving testimony, and they were laughing and having the biggest time, and they were showing their scars. They'd been shot, and they'd been beat, and different things, but they thought, if you hadn't been shot at least once, you just wasn't doing your stuff. And it was so much different than the church in America. So let's stand together. I've started the same old stuff, didn't I? I'm going to stay with stuff tonight and get through this. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 1, and I'll read through verse 12, and then, boy, we're going to dive into it and buckle our seatbelts and have at it. Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father, and you can have peace when there's a storm going on in your life. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are bound to give thanks. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. That word meet means that it's the proper thing to do. It's just what you need. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And here's that word we talked about, charity. And the charity of every one of you, love, could be replaced there. The love of every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. They were growing in this fellowship with one another. You cannot do that without getting together. You just got to get together. You got to be with one another in order to increase that fellowship with one another. You got to know one another, and you can't know one another without spending time with one another. It'd just be like you. Come and see your wife every once in a while. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. We're going to talk about those words that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Now he's talking about those that are going to persecute them, but God's going to use that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Are you kidding? Yeah, that's what he said. For which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's the one that's in charge of taking care of people that are doing stuff against us, not us. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I think that's the glorious appearing that he says. And we remember here that they don't necessarily do things in order. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. He's talking about the very end. When you read to the end of Revelation, that's what happens. Those that reject the Lord The devil and his angels are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Isn't that something? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You may be seated. He encourages them in praise. He's practicing what he preaches. One of our best weapons to fight Satan is our praise to him. And Matt chose some really good praise songs tonight. I wish I could remember stuff, but in this last song that we sang, he talked about I don't remember the words, but I thought, boy, those are great. When we go to heaven, when we die, we think that's, you know, that's a bad deal. No, that's a good deal. Good for us when we get to go to be with him. We're not going to try to hurry it up, but at the same time, it's going to be great. So why was Paul giving thanks? For one thing, in verse 3 he says, their faith was growing. Don't you love it when you see someone's faith grow? When you see folks that haven't been very involved in the past and they get more and more involved in the church and what things is going on, you can see their faith growing. They have questions and they're interested in what's going on and they're studying their Bible. And so he uses these two words, tribulation and persecution. And it's God's way to strengthen our faith. Look at chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Just turn back a little bit. Chapter 3, and look at verse 10. And so he's writing to this same group of people, and he says, night and day, am I in the right place? Yep. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And they might have said, if tribulation and persecution is going to increase our faith, Paul quit praying that our faith would increase. That would be our tendency, right? And I don't think that we're built in such a way, and I don't think God expects us to say, bring it on. But when you're around people that have had lots of pressure, tribulation, and persecution in their lives, they are faithful people. They're people that are of faith, and they're the kind of folks that we want to be around. Look with me at the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and look at verse 33 when he talks about the hall of faith here. And this, he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouth of lions. Who was that? Oh, man, Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. We'd have to study some more on that. In verse 3, he said that their love was abounding. And this he prayed for in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. Look at that. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And then when he writes 2 Thessalonians, he says, we see that happening. We see the people loving one another more and love toward all men, even as we do toward you. John 13:35, the world is to know that we're Christians by our love one toward another. Not only was their love toward one another increasing, but in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians verse 4, their patience was increasing, Paul said, because of their tribulation. So look with me. Let's, before we go on, Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 3. Romans 5, look down at verse 3. And not only so, but we glory. You believe that? What's that next word? We glory in what? Huh? Tribulations. Also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We glory in tribulation. Persecution is attacked from without, and I think that the church has not experienced very much of this. I think that it's going to in the future. I was in state evangelism conference a few years ago, and I can't get the guy's name to come to me that was doing the preaching, but we were in North Little Rock, in a church in North Little Rock, and I think he made a prophecy, because this was years ago. He said, I probably will not see it. He said, I'm too old. I probably won't see it. But he said, you young preachers that are sitting out here will see it. You're going to be persecuted for your faith, and it'll probably become against the law for you to preach. Now, I thought, not in America. We're too strong. There's too many of us. And now I see how easily that the law is already turning against us that are preaching the truth. And so the persecution is without, the attacks from without. But tribulation is merely pressure. The word tribulation comes from a word, tribulant. And a tribulant was a stone, a round stone that was used in a grinding floor to separate the wheat from the chaff. And they would roll or drag this heavy stone on the wheat around and around this flat, probably a rock surface, or at least a hard surface, and they would drag that stone around and around that, and then they would take a winnowing fork, and they would, it would be up on a high spot where the wind was blowing, and they would take that wheat, and as they drug that tribulant around that wheat, they would take that winnowing fork and they'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would drive away the chaff, and the pure wheat would fall back to the ground. The Bible says that in the last day there's going to be a great falling away. But when you think about a great falling away, the chaff will be blown away and the pure wheat will fall back to the ground. So not only is the in this falling away are the apostate churches are going to go their way in liberalism, but the true church gather together. There's always going to be a remnant. There's going to be a true church that pulls together. And so Paul says pressure is good because it presses out the chaff. Verse 7, he uses the word trouble. You got trouble? Somebody said, that's my middle name. Verse 7, to be pressured into a narrow place. And I think that's coming for the church. So God doesn't waste suffering. Trials work for us and not against us. Look with me over in the book of James, the first chapter. What's the first book after the book of Hebrews? That's James. James 1, and look at verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. James is the half-brother of Jesus. He was one of the 12. He is... you remember him getting killed in the New Testament? Peter killed him. Herod killed James, and because it pleased the Jews, he reached out to get Peter also, and they run him, got him out of town. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Diverse temptations, different. The word diverse means different kinds of temptation. Diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. 2 Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Really? Did you hear it? What we've just been talking about, James just said, that trouble, that God's not going to waste this trouble in our life. And then he says in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our... And though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You can't help getting old. But here he says, as we face these trials in our life, we're renewed day after day. He didn't say that our outward body is renewed day after day. If it were, we'd live forever. But our inward man, here he says, if we're using the tribulation in the right way, that we're renewed day by day on the inside. In verse 4, the first part of that verse in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, their testimony was helping others. Let's look at another verse. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and look at verse 4. This Bible has such thin pages in it. Mike's got me another one ordered. We'll see how that works. See if it preaches any better. the second Corinthians, first chapter, verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I use that verse a lot in funerals. He's the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in our tribulation. There's our word, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God allows, if I'm reading this right, God allows tribulation in our life, trouble in our life, so that we would be able to help other people that are going through the same thing. We don't want to waste it. So, not only is he encouraging them to, in praise and when trouble comes, but he encourages them about the promise in verses 5 through verse 10. Look at Philippians. Look at Philippians 1, verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also, maybe we shouldn't take this out. What do you think? Let's not read that part. Let's say that's not in there. Let's join the group of those that believe they know which parts of the Bible are inspired, and they're inspired to tell you which parts are inspired. No, let's not. Let's read it like it says. Let's do what it says. But also to suffer for his sake. Wow. For unto you is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So we give an invitation on Sunday morning, come to Christ, accept Christ as your Savior. It's the only way to go. I mean, it's the difference between heaven and hell, and you can change your direction if you'll choose Christ as your Savior. But by the way, God's called you to suffer for him. I'll tell you, when you look at it from the perspective of those Chinese Christians, it's a good thing. Where was I at? Verse 28. Go ahead and read 30. Having this same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And they knew he had it rough. So when he talks about the promises of God, there's three experiences here that he talks about. He talks about, in verse 5, he talks about there's a reward in his promise. He has added a promise of reward in our life for serving him. There's not anything wrong with that. You think, well, we're not serving him because he's promised us a reward, but he just adds that to it. He just makes that part of it. Look at 1 Peter. The first chapter. And look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's the word, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We sang a song about that. In verses 6 through 10, he talks about recompense. I'm going to kind of, you've got the verses there, you can look that up. In verse 7, and verse 10 talks about rest. This is the promise of rest. 7, he says, and to you who are troubled, rest us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, rest. There is this rest, and God is in charge. Doesn't matter who the president is. Doesn't matter who. And I'm not saying that we couldn't do better. I'm just saying that it doesn't matter. God is in charge. And we may think in our own lives, well, you know, if this hadn't happened and that hadn't happened, everything is against me. God is in charge. He's in charge. And he is in charge of our lives. Look down at verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And so what Paul is saying here, there's a place of rest. There's a place of rest even in trouble. We know who's driving the train. We know who's in charge of everything in our life. The word rest here means a lot of different things. It carries with it the word relief. It carries with it the word release. And then it says, not under pressure. And then he encourages them to pray. Verses 11 and verse 12. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Well, what does it mean to pray always for someone? God would count you worthy of his calling. Something that the Lord has laid on my heart, Gwen's heart, I think, of late, is to pray for our grandkids, for revival in their lives. And this is what I've been praying for some of my grandchildren specifically that God would send someone into their life that was on fire for God, that got their attention, would befriend them, they would be able to watch their life, see how they handle trouble and situations. God has allowed in my own life to be around some folks that were that way, that were fired up for God. Some of them disappointed me along the way, but still yet I got some encouragement at the time. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together.